In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby.
Let's talk movies and more. Alan Adams here in studio with us. Hello, Al.
Hello, how are you?
Good, thank you. Good, battling these whatever allergies, whatever it is, and you're doing the same.
Oh, huh? Man, I tell you what, it's one of those things where this time of year I always have some sort of like respiratory thing, just because, like, I don't know if it's the changing of the seasons or whatever, but, and then that's exacerbated by the fact that this is definitely a pretty high allergen situation. So you combine those two things, and then with all the wind last night, poor Stella couldn't sleep. And so that meant I couldn't sleep.
Yeah.
Just a rough evening all around.
But Ginger was the same, boy. Once the windows start rattling, mm-hmm. and then when she can hear the wind, pacing.
Yeah.
Pacing and crying.
Well, and if the wind hits at just the right angle, it can sometimes catch our front storm door and pop that loose.
Oh.
And it makes this big bang. And then it's like, and Stella's like done for like 45 minutes.
Oh,
like,
boy.
It's just like she's, which, and understandably, it scares the bejesus out of me, too. And I know what it is.
Right.
So. It's fine, and it came at the end of actually a really wonderful weekend. We had a really great saw a couple of really great performances over the course of the weekend.
Oh, what did you see?
Well, we went to see opening weekend of Popcorn Falls, the new show at Winterport Open Stage,
mm-hmm.
their first one in like 4 years.
And that's Jenny Hart and Dominic Varney.
Yep, Jenny Hart and Dominic Varney. It's a two-hander. I basically, whenever anyone asks, I'm just like, are you familiar with Greater Tuna? Like, it's because it's that sort of
Okay. Yep.
You know, two actors playing a bunch of different characters set in a sort of, a quirky small town setting. It's goofy and silly and very fun and just the right kind of show that they want to sort of, leap back into producing stuff
nice.
Again. So
That's
that was
awesome.
That was really great. Directed by Brian Beck.
And I heard from everybody who's been that the symphony finale was unbelievable.
Holy cow, man. Like, and I said something, I alluded to something like this on social media. It's like, I mean, like Sheridan and I subscribed for the first time this year, and we've gone to every show and they've all been wonderful, but man, didn't they blow the roof off it yesterday afternoon? I mean, just, they brought in the University Singers, and the Oratorio Society and Euphony, which is a community chorus in Orono. So you've got like, 100 people like up there in a chorus, the BSO doing BSO stuff. So they opened with a wonderful Alleluia that was just gorgeous. Like, and then the Wabanaki artist Firefly comes in. He does I don't even know what to call it. Like a sort of modernization of traditional Penobscot music, but they've orchestrated it, and so they had. So he performed these songs. There were three of them, with the backing of the orchestra and this gigantic chorus.
Wow.
Just mind blowing. I'd never seen anything like it. You take an intermission and then they close with a little thing called Ode to Joy. I don't know if you've
I saw a video clip of that. That was so moving.
Just gorgeous. And they had of course the chorus was wonderful. They brought in some remarkable guest artists, soloists, including a bass. I made the joke to Sheridan. The dude's like 6'8". So it's like you have like three trained opera singers and like a Latvian power forward up there. It was great, but they were all phenomenal. Like the performances were great, and it was just a wonderful way for them to end the season. Like we felt very privileged to be there.
And then I saw today Lucas Richmond has already posted next year's schedule.
Yeah, they're really getting after it. They've got some really interesting stuff coming next year. Sheridan and I are going to re-up. I can't stress it enough. Like I never would have guessed that I would be like a symphony person, but it's become a highlight for me, and I feel like I'm far from alone as far as that's concerned.
Yeah.
So anyone out there who is interested should really check it out, because it is well worth your time and your money, which, by the way, first time new subscribers get a significant discount on
Ooh.
Subscriptions. So
Excellent.
If that's something that piques your interest, it's very affordable.
There you go. All right. Well, we're going to talk movies. I do have to ask you. You probably heard us talking about it.
Yes, I will get the tattoo.
on your ass.
Yeah.
Okay. Fantastic. No, but seriously, what should we get though? What would if you were fortunate enough to win? I'm confident you were the highest vote getter in the main bracket. What would be a nice keepsake? Again, keeping in mind the downtown austerity budget.
Yes, of course.
Because we may have to do this with a dozen people.
Yeah, like I mean, it's tough because like you know they're the like the easy answers like some sort of like you know a nice certificate or something like that. Stuff like that's really nice. But like if you wanted to try something a little bit outside the box, like I'm not sure. Like it's a tough one. Like I would love to have something to like hang on the wall of my office or like put on my desk or something like that because. You know, as you know, I take great pride in my status here at downtown. So, yeah, I don't know. You know, obviously, like I don't know. Could we get the busts like like full on like Pro Football Hall of Fame busts or Cooperstown plaques or whatever it is they have at the Basketball Hall of Fame?
You know, we can't afford to do that in bronze, but Kerry's got an old uncle who can whittle.
So yes, in approximately 18 to 24 months,
yes.
You will receive your very small plaque.
I know a couple of people with 3D printers.
See, that was something that some sort of like 3D printed situation is. That would be interesting and probably within the budget.
Wow, oh, I like that. But then aren't they plastic though?
Well, sure, but
yeah. Would you mount that on a base or something?
Yeah, put it on do your sort of representative like statue is, and then you know stick it in a block of wood, and you're done.
Nice. Wow. Well, that's an interesting idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, we'll have to explore that. We got some time. Yes. Not a lot, but again. Cranston's still waiting for something he won 7 years ago.
Yeah, so. my big question is like, where are we holding the induction ceremony? Like, where's the Hall of Fame dinner going to be? And is it going to be just the three of us?
I think we go to if Paula Poundstone wins, we go to her place. She's got a million cats there. She's got room for us.
Oh,
I'm
fantastic!
Sure.
Yeah,
I mean that's what we should do. We talk about them coming to us. But why don't we all do? Let's all, if he wins, let's all drive down to Walpole, New Hampshire and show up at Ken Burns' place.
Yes, I'm sure that would not get us arrested at all.
No. Ken, Downtown Hall of Fame.
Hey,
how you doing?
Yeah, you know, you remember the guy that bugs you on the radio every time you have something coming out.
Right.
Yeah, you know, here's this plastic doohickey on a 2x4. Congratulations.
Yeah. What's this? What do you got, Kerry?
Those are the index, sort of index card size, a little bit bigger things that they have that at the Hall of Fame. That'd be something easy to do.
That'd be nice.
Yeah, we could do a little 3D printed bust like that. Why not?
Hmm. All right. The team is on it. Let's talk movies. What did you see? What's good? What do you like? What's bad?
Well, as you might guess, I did not have the opportunity to get to the theater. There were a couple of new releases this week that I was interested in, but you know, circumstances didn't allow. There's the George Foreman biopic, which I've heard is you know, pretty standard, but decent.
Yeah.
And one that I'm sorry that I missed, and I will certainly be watching it at my soonest opportunity. The film version of Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret.
Well, I'm hearing good things about that.
Well, it's one of those things where for Judy Blume to be like, yeah, go ahead and make this movie after refusing to allow that to happen for what, like 50 years?
Mm.
Like, you have to think that it's, you know, that the script is good. I know the director, the name escapes me at the moment, but it's the same person who did the wonderful Edge of 17, which was a wonderful female-driven coming-of-age movie. So obviously in the Are You There, God? Wheelhouse. So those movies were out. I did not get a chance to see them. But I did see a couple of movies. I saw on Disney Plus, I saw the new Peter Pan and Wendy. On Hulu, I saw a not even entirely sure how to quantify it genre-wise, thriller, horror, psychological drama called Clock. So I saw those two movies. Which would you like to hear about first?
Well, let's go psychological drama or whatever.
Okay. Yeah. So it's the movie is called Clock. And it's I guess you would call it like a subgenre of body horror, in that it's basically like kind of like pregnancy horror.
Oh God.
Yeah. Which, you know, is a lot. But yeah, it's basically, you've got a woman, by the name of, Ella Patel, played by Diana Agron. She's in her late 30s, you know, great career, great marriage, like lots of friends, doesn't have kids. Not only doesn't have kids, doesn't have any desire to have kids. And she is constantly being confronted from all sides by people who are convinced that she is wrong to not want children. And so everyone is telling her, you know, it's like, you know, you need kids, they'll change your life. Like, what's the point if you're not having kids? Like, she's getting it from, again, her friends who are having kids of their own. Her husband, who's a doctor, very supportive, and not like actively pressuring her, but clearly wants kids. And her father, played by the great Saul Rubinick, by the way.
Oh wow.
Who is pressuring her because they're Jewish, and since Jewish, you know, that's matrilineal. And so the line ends with her if she doesn't have kids. And so there's that pressure as well. But she just doesn't feel it. And so she starts to think, well, what if it's something that's wrong with me? And so she gets a recommendation from a doctor to go to this, to take part in this clinical trial, being championed by this woman, Dr. Simmons, played by Melora Hardin, who basically does a combination of hormone therapy and psychotherapy to basically, I don't know, restart the biological clock, like basically like get it started so you've that desire to have children sort of you know, blooms within you. This being the kind of movie it is, that goes in some unexpected and kind of unpleasant directions, and it gets pretty visceral, pretty graphic in a couple of places, with a lot of the sort of, how do I put this, there's a lot of unreliability in the storytelling, and so you're not ever quite sure exactly what's happening, but there are you know, there's some hallucinatory stuff that's introduced and things like that, and so there's an extended chunk of the movie where you're not entirely sure how much of what you're seeing is real, you know, and we're certainly treated to our lead not necessarily knowing what is real either. Uh-huh. It's okay. Like it's one of those movies that it was basically born of a short that was sort of a proof of concept kind of thing, and they brought that to Hulu, and they decided that they were going to make it into a full length movie. The filmmaker's name is Alexis Jackenau, it's like I said, it's good. It kind of doesn't fully seem to know what it wants to be, and so like I don't think it's horror enough for the horror fans. I don't know that it's thriller enough for the thriller fans. I think anyone who is of a certain age and on the fence about having kids is going to be very upset by this movie, which I suppose is probably the point.
Right.
But it's interesting. Like, you know, as someone who, you know, I love John Carpenter, like, you know, David Cronenberg. Like, I love the sort of body horror type stuff. But this was maybe a little bit much for me, just in terms of the fact that I don't necessarily have that degree of relatability to the circumstances. And so a lot of that, and I think to an unfortunate number of men, a lot of the whole female biological process is pretty foreign, pretty alien. And so, you know, so putting something like this in front of them, it might prove unsettling. We'll put it that way.
Okay.
But you know, a well-made movie, and you know, it's a quick watch. It's like an hour and a half. So, if you are a fan of this sort of film, you know, Clock will do all right by you.
All right, that's one. What was the other film?
Peter Pan and Wendy, I guess I didn't know this going in, so this was a sort of strange realization. It clicked pretty early, but this movie is very much a part of the current Disney trend of live-action remakes of animated films.
Oh.
So this is basically a live-action remake of the animated Peter Pan from 1951, I want to say. And so once that clicked, it's like, oh, okay, so I've seen this before. And I have. It's a reminder that these movies don't need to exist. They feel unnecessary. Even the ones that are well made feel unnecessary, because it's like it just feels like, well, it feels like what it is, which is a fairly transparent cash grab. Although this one is a direct to Disney Plus joint, so I wonder if there were maybe some issues with it along the way. It's directed by David Lowery, who co-wrote the screenplay with Toby Hallbrooks. Like I said, it's based on Peter Pan, which was in turn based on the J.M. Barrie play Peter and Wendy. And yeah, we're in Edwardian England. Wendy Darling is about to go to boarding school, much to the chagrin of her younger brothers, but her parents tell her it's time to grow up. And so that's the plan until, wouldn't you know it, Peter Pan shows up with Tinkerbell and, you know, looking for a shadow, catches his shadow, takes them off to Neverland, you know, second star on the right, keep on till morning. Although that sequence was pretty dope. When we sort of traveled to Neverland, that was actually pretty neat. Then we appear above the pirate ship, where we get some pretty fantastic pirates. Jude Law plays Captain Hook.
Interesting.
Yes, and he's very good, going for it in a very Jude Law kind of way. And perhaps the biggest surprise, the biggest delightful surprise for me, was when I discovered that Smee was played by none other than Jim Gaffigan.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was such a great choice, and he was so good. And then, you know, an assortment of pirates and whatnot. And then, look, I'm not gonna go through the plot of Peter Pan here. It's like, if you've seen the movie, like, then you've seen this movie, because it's the same thing. The story is the same. It looks great. Like, they've got some wonderful shots. I love a lot of the casting choices. Like, the Lost Boys are both boys and girls, which I think is great. The casting of Tinkerbell, I think, angered certain of the sweatier corners of the internet. So I'm always here for that. But yeah, they just walk through the standard story. We do get the additions of, like, the lore that, you know, Captain Hook used to be one of Peter's friends, and then he left and he came back and all that stuff as a grown up. And that's the sort of basis of their conflict. And our ending veers off a little bit. I'm not going to go into the particulars there just because I don't want to spoil too much. But yeah, again, it was just a perfectly fun time. And I think it's going to be a very watchable film for families. It gets a little intense in a couple of places, but not so intense that it's going to scare, you know, maybe little kids. Probably it might be a little bit much, but I mean, they're seeing much worse on YouTube every day, so, like, I don't think that's an issue. Again, it's a classic story, and it's fun to kind of get swept up in it again and reminded of these wonderful characters. The performances are strong. The kid playing Peter Pan, I think it's his film debut, like, he's quite good. Well, I mean, we'll talk about it now. Black Tinkerbell, they don't care for it.
Really?
Out there on the internet.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because she's black, Rich.
Oh.
Yeah, you know who I'm talking about, yeah. Too. It's the same people who complain about any sort of, like...
So you went all woke with Peter Pan.
Exactly. Yeah, great. And it's one of those things where it's like, that's not even, you know, it's like, it's not even right. It's like, come on, guys. Like, she's a fairy. She's a made-up fairy.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Have you ever seen a fairy in real life? No, you haven't. So you don't know what color they are. Maybe we've had it wrong this whole time. You don't know. It's just such performative bullcrap.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's this idea that any sort of effort to be inclusive in the slightest is viewed as some sort of affront, and it infuriates me, particularly when it's addressed towards movies like this one, which is perfectly fine. But if you want to criticize it, there are things to criticize, but you know, making up this sort of turning it into this culture war crap. Like, and it's just, and it's inevitable. And it's like, and it, basically, I feel like they're just sort of warming up for the Little Mermaid because they're really going to go to town on this one.
Oh, God, yeah.
But, you know, I mean, you know, small blessings. At least, you know, at least Tucker Carlson's not around to bitch about it for an hour on Fox this week. So we got that going for us, which there is nice. Go.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I said, the movie is the movie's fun. The child performances are really strong. I loved the sort of diversity, the diverse nature of the cast in general and the Lost Boys in particular. The pirates were great. Some really solid action sequences, some great use of visuals. And, you know, I mean, for one of these unnecessary live action remakes, like, we've seen worse. I know that sounds like it's damning with faint praise, but frankly, it's the best I'm going to do.
There you go. Alan Adams with us talking movies and more. Thank you, Al.
My pleasure.